Well, hello, and welcome to Coffee Break with God, the podcast where we explore the wonders of faith in everyday life. I'm your host, Monica, and I'm so glad you're here. Each episode, we'll have a conversation with a guest who will share their stories, insights, and wisdom on how they connected with God in the midst of their busy and chaotic world. So grab your favorite cup of coffee, tea, or whatever you like, and join us on a coffee break with God. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Graceful Warrior and our seasonal episode of Coffee Break with God. Hey, we have a great guest with us today, and it is a veteran. He was in the military for many, many years. We're going to get down to all the nitty gritty with him. He has started a ministry called Fireborn Ministry. You may have heard of him on Charisma Podcast, Charisma Network. He writes for Charisma. Him and his wife have done a tremendous, tremendous work for the Lord. They have started Fireborn Ministries, like I said, and they have already gotten many classes on there, like e-courses on there of the first beginning levels of learning prophecy, learning the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and a whole bunch of other classes. So without further ado, we're going to bring in a Jared and hear his great story of everything the Lord has done in his life. So let's welcome Jared.
Hello, good afternoon or good morning.
And good morning, Jared. Boy, we had such major confusion on our communication, didn't we?
Oh, that's all good. That's all good.
So, Jared, I have been excited for this interview. I have been following you, listening to your podcast, and really a lot of it was just learning how you roll in your podcast and how smoothly things go and how you just you flow so easily as a fellow podcaster. And so that first was what drew me in. And then on top of that, I was like, no way, Jared's a veteran. Okay, he's got me now, you know. And so, you know, and then of course, it was just your heart. And you have a heart for the Lord is just amazing. And you could see it, you know, in your shows and what you do. So I just really appreciate you as a veteran and a fellow podcaster and what you're doing for the Lord. So,
well, thank you so very much. It's an honor.
Thank you. So, Jared, I have like looked at a lot of your stuff, and what I wanted to do today is just kind of just go, how did you come to the Lord type of thing? And talk a little bit about your military service, how long, what did you know what you did, just the basics in that. And then how you were drawn towards your ministry now and where your goals are and in your ministry. So I'll just leave it to you, let you go ahead and share, and then I'll just chime in as a listener and just ask you questions.
Yeah. Okay, great. So we're already recording.
Yes, I just awesome. I do all my introduction and I say, go, let's bring him in on the spot.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to be on your podcast. And it's always an honor to be with, you know, talk about my story, to talk about Jesus, share my testimony in him and what he's done in my life and what he's doing in other people's lives, because I just want him to get all the credit, all the glory, all the praise.
Exactly.
You know, it's his power through us, his ability, his strength. So I'm Jared Lasky of Fireborn Ministries. I've been married for 21 years. Got four amazing kids. One is about to go off on the mission field with Youth with a Mission.
I saw that.
Lausanne, Switzerland, headed to Madagascar for a couple months.
Wow.
So I came to the Lord. I was raised in a Christian home, but it was in a church that didn't really know nor understand the supernatural or the spiritual gifts.
Right.
And there are some pastors that actually talked against it through that time. We unfortunately had gone through numerous pastors over some years. Like, we had a thriving ministry when I was a kid in that church growing up, but then that pastor moved on to greener pastures, I guess. And, you know, then we went through interim pastors and other pastors. But God was speaking to me at a young age, since I was about 12 or 13, in prophetic dreams.
Wow.
Dreams that would happen. And the fruit was good. Some of them were warnings or corrections and things like that, but it always pointed to Jesus, and I knew it was him. But I'd had a pastor who had said that God doesn't do that. But I was like, but God's doing it in me.
Right.
But when I was 17 years old, I'd actually had, it's a long story, but my appendix had burst. And just the circumstances surrounding that, I ended up in the hospital for 5 days. But it was at the hospital, even though I was doing smoking pot, partying and stuff like that, I had this understanding of the Lord. And I knew, I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I still had morality. But, you know, I was trying to run from him and just do my thing, you know, try to justify smoking pot, even trying to use the Bible, which is impossible. Okay.
Right.
Because marijuana is part of the curse of the earth in the garden.
Right.
Because weeds and thorns and thistles came about from that. So what is marijuana?
It's exactly. Weed, right? Exactly. Yeah.
But in the hospital, as a last resort, my twin brother and I were going to a kind of a charismatic Christian high school. Mm-hmm. And so they believed in the power of God, and it was a little weird. But I'd go do my thing at lunchtime, and, you know, but I was kind of in this community of faith of the charismatic, and was not used to it. But so at 17, February of 1997, or no, actually February of 1998, my bad. I was in the hospital for 5 days, but it was there I felt the hand of God on my head. And I felt I had fire and electricity going through me. It was like this tingling throughout my body. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit. And I started having these knowings of who's coming, who's, you know, coming to visit me. And just, and looking back, that's the prophetic, right?
Right, and right. There was, but did it freak you out? Did it, you know, what did you think going through that?
No, it didn't freak me out at all, because I'd always heard the story about how my dad came to Christ supernaturally. And the church had accepted his testimony. Like, the day that he and my mom were water baptized, they went home, and he wanted to smoke pot, right? So he sent my mom on an errand. And I guess the story is that, so they were, my mom was pregnant with my twin brother and I in 1980 when they came to the Lord. And so I guess you could say I was doubly immersed.
There you go.
You know, baptized in the womb and then baptized when I was 8 years old, but water baptized. And then as he was about to take the first hit on that joint, it was as if he was transported to Calvary. And he saw Jesus on the cross. And his testimony is really like, he saw the love in his eyes. He said his Jesus's mangled body was there, but there was nothing but love in Christ's eyes. And that's what drew him. And he's just like, you know, I don't know how long that supernatural experience was,
right?
But that's in my spiritual DNA, if you will. And so my dad immediately quit marijuana cold turkey, got rid of, like, you know, he was growing it in his home, got rid of it. And was radically saved. And the church was like, hey, yeah, that's great for you. But now those things aren't regular or consistent, right? So it's almost like he had the supernatural experience. They accepted it, but then discipled out of it. Like, that's rare or whatever, right? So it was a cessationist church for the most part.
Right.
But so it didn't scare me what God was doing in the hospital. I knew it was the Holy Spirit. And I had this Gideon pocket New Testament. Praise God for the Gideons.
Right.
So I was hungry, and I kept reading those scriptures over. And, you know, when you're recuperating, your spirit, you know, could you feel
just
the words
in.
Of life.
Yes.
And so I knew that that was real. But I tried to walk out this Christian walk on my own, which didn't work out too well.
Never does it?
So I got worse, but then I knew in time through a series of events, I needed to serve the Lord wholeheartedly, and I had to get out of what I was involved in And so I applied to Youth with a Mission and then went not knowing what to expect, but the Holy Spirit moved in power there.
Wow. Wow. I mean, it's so, you know, when the Lord comes down and actually reaches into our soul, it's amazing to, I mean, it's like there is nothing that can describe that feeling or just that humbleness of there is something greater than mankind on earth, you know, that to be able to grip. I remember when I first got saved and just being like a sponge, just soaking in the word. I mean, every the thes and the these and the thous meant something. It was just powerful, you know, to soak it in and just learn about who God is in the word. So, I mean, I totally understand that, you know, it's just amazing. But, so you recovered from the hospital, you're back up and out, and you have this time with the Lord. I mean, what drove you to continue on and to get deeper into this?
I'd say it's the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. So when I was in Youth with a Mission, discipleship training school in Kona, Hawaii, I got clean and sober. I went through some demonic attacks and deliverances, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then I was asking for more, and I didn't know what more meant. I just knew I wanted more of God.
Right.
And I remember we're on work duties one day, and this, lady from New Zealand. These people were talking other languages of this earth. And I was like, man, I wish that I could have another language. And she looks at me, she's like, do you have the spiritual gift of tongues? And I was like, no, I don't even know what that is. I heard it once at a church service you know, when I was in YWAM. And I knew that some of my friends had it who came into YWAM because it's an interdenominational mission, the largest mission in the world.
Right.
So, I started asking for more of the Holy Spirit. And I was like, speaking in tongues, if that's what you want to give me. Mm-hmm. And God was speaking to me through a lot of dreams at that time and unctions for the next couple of weeks, even seeing who I would be interacting with later that day after waking up. Mm-hmm. And it was just all very divine stuff. So God was speaking to me quite a bit. And so for about 2 weeks, I'm asking for more. I'm asking for tongues, if that's what it is, not knowing what that really was, besides I was reading some books and stuff. But I went to my small group leader, Sam Park, and I told him everything that God was doing. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, so you want to speak in tongues? I was like, sure, whatever that is.
Yeah, right.
And he had the faith. He said, I believe God will give it to you now. I was like, okay, great. So real quick, you know, I just asked Jesus to forgive me my sins. He had me stand up and he explained to me that he's going to lay hands on me. And I'd already been kind of trained in YWAM to hear God's voice, his still small voice. So I'd even prophesied a couple of times just by hearing that voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit, you know, through scripture and things like that. So brand new to all this stuff. And so he said, I might hear in my spiritual ears, the Holy Spirit will give me a syllable or a phrase in a language I don't know, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Or I might see it in my mind. And then I'm to start speaking that out by faith and repeating it. And so he led me in a quick prayer of, Jesus, will you baptize me with the Holy Spirit?
Will
you give me tongues? And then I start shaking under the power of the Holy Spirit. And in my spiritual ears, I heard one syllable. And then in my spiritual vision, I saw it spelled. And so it was spelled in my mind. And I start repeating that one word over. The next thing I know, the fire and love and power of the Holy Spirit came through me. It was like a light came out of my mouth as I'm speaking in tongues, praising Jesus. And the fire and electricity of his love was going through me as he immersed me, as he baptized me with the Holy Spirit, because It's the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's Jesus who baptizes us, but it's the person of the Holy Spirit upon us, immersing us.
Right.
Entering into the more, into opening up the doorway into the more of God.
Mm-hmm.
Too many people leave the baptism of the Spirit as just, that's it. You achieved it, but there's more. It's a doorway.
Exactly.
It's a guy I interviewed recently, Jeff Lee, calls it mm-hmm. the doorway into the supernatural. You know,
right.
And so for the next 2.5 hours is what it seemed like, you know, praying in tongues, singing, laughing, crying, thanking Jesus in English. Sam was there still praying over me. I think he was just sitting back watching God do
just this. Watching. Yeah.
I was almost slain in the spirit. He had to sit me down.
Wow.
And as I'm still just about 3 or 4 waves of power for the next 2.5 hours. And Sam had the wisdom to say, Jared, you know, the enemy's going to say that this didn't happen. But praying in tongues every single day. And I was like, how can I deny? How, if the enemy tries to tell me I made it up, how? That's impossible. This was
exactly.
so significant in my life. And at the time, because I come out of the drug culture, I was like, that's the highest high. And I don't want to compare the Holy Spirit and what he does to that. But that's the only time in that time that I could compare it to. How could I go back?
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
So I said, that was the highest high of my life. That was most incredible. So ever since then, you know, been praying in the spirit and every single day, even in combat situations in Afghanistan, especially. I've been to Iraq and Afghanistan with the Marine Corps and then contracted for Afghanistan. But praying in tongues every single day through thick and thin. So
Wow. You know, it's, you know, to even go back and even look at just the dream aspect, you know, and how churches tend to degrade those things. You know, it's like, if we even look in the Word of God, you know, Joseph had the dreams. He interpreted the dreams, you know, there was dreams all throughout the Word of God. And you're just like, how can we as a body of Christ deny that? You know, it just amazes me that they do that. And even to look at speaking in tongues, I've really learned that in prayer, what God says to pray without ceasing. There's times when, you know, you're just like, my spiritual man can pray all the time, even though me as flesh, Monica, I don't know what to say, or I'm at a loss for words, or I feel like I'm repeating, that praying without ceasing actually can mean pray in tongues and pray and let the spirit man pray through us to every day, all throughout the night. And if we make it a habit, you know, I really believe that even our spirit will pray when we go to sleep, that our spirit man will pray in tongues all the time. And I have found such faith as I pray in the spirit all the time that I even feel strengthened and renewed, you know, myself to go, oh, I feel refreshed. I feel renewed. I have no idea what I'm saying, but I just feel refreshed and renewed when my spirit can become one with the Lord and pray. And it's amazing to have that, you know, that double portion on you, that you have that gift of being able to know and to speak, you know, prophetically. That is just an amazing gift in itself too, you know. And for you to even have it, like when I was in the military, I was not even a Christian. I knew of the Lord. I was raised in a Christian home. But to me, I was like, I'm going to go play army now. And God, you stay home. You know, I didn't need God at the time. And that's what I thought, you know, but to be able to be in the military and be a Christian at the same time, that's like an amazing weapon right there, you know, and such strength to draw from, even at times of combat, you know, to where I would walk out of certain situations and I'm like, whew, got out of that, you know, and I'm Desert Storm era. And so it's just amazing to hear those type of stories where you find other veterans that were Christians. You know, you're not the only veteran that I've run into that says, yeah, I was a Christian in the Navy, or I was a Christian in, you know, Coast Guard or whatever. And it's just amazing to hear those stories, because I never got to experience that, you know, being in the military and having my faith. You know, it was a crutch to get out of duty, extra duty, to go to chapel and all that. So it's amazing to hear that. But But yeah, like, so you get baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now you're given dreams. What made you go, look, this is something here, and to go into ministry?
Yeah, so I'd actually thought that I'd be a movie director, producer, writer.
Oh, wow.
Took some classes in that. But I did actually 2 Youth with the Mission schools and then mm-hmm. 2 mission trips with them. So about mm-hmm. a full year I was in YWAM. Mm-hmm. And I'd surrendered everything to Jesus.
Right.
And I was like, whatever you want me to do. And he told me to go to Bible college. So I went. Uh-huh. And I was thinking it'd only be a year or so, but it ended up being 4 years. I got married in that time, but also went through some tragedy, lost a brother tragically. Mm-hmm. But when I'd lost him, you know, he struggled with addiction for years, many, many years. And
right.
he did come to the Lord about 6 months before his death and recommitted his life to Christ, but his brain was pretty messed up from the drugs. So mm-hmm. after his death, it, you know, it's like a grenade goes off in the middle of the family, you know?
Right. Yes. Yes.
So we all had to run in different directions. And like my twin brother started going into prisons and ran into some very hardcore things that nobody should get involved in. Mm-hmm. White supremacy and stuff like that. And, you know, he was booted out of the Navy, administratively separated after like 19 months or so during that, because mm-hmm. he was in the Navy when our brother had died. But mm-hmm. I jumped into God. I started a community outreach center church in my small town in Lowell, Oregon. And I jumped into revival. I jumped in the presence, in my pain, in my grief, in my heartache, hours upon hours of praying. And I'd mm-hmm. actually made this commitment with some friends of mine to pray in tongues for about 2 hours a day.
Wow.
And for about 2 years. Now it's just, even when I'm walking or driving, right? But during that time, mm-hmm. it was like dedicated 2 hours plus other spiritual habits.
Right.
And I was the most full during, you know, from that, and learned a lot about the prophetic, about the spiritual gifts, just on my face seeking Jesus. Call
right.
it sunbathing. Some people call it soaking, but I call it sunbathing because it's S-O-N, Jesus the Son, sunbathing.
Exactly. Amen.
And so I jumped into revival, and there was, took busloads of kids to this revival that was going on in Albany, Oregon at that time. So it's the year 2000, 2001, and got married in 2002, and then became a youth pastor for a while in another community, not too far from where I'd grown up, and did big events, discipleship programs and stuff. But I started feeling this unction for the military, and I was 25, so I was a late join.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of those things that when the Holy Spirit's dropping these ideas in you and in your wife, you know, my wife confirms a lot of what the Holy Spirit's speaking to me.
Wow.
And I was thinking that the direction would have to be chaplain, but you needed a master of divinity. So how do I acquire that and all that? So signed up, burned out a youth ministry. There's a whole situation with the pastor because people will fail us, right?
Yes.
And so I was young and stupid and naive, and I didn't really know how to speak up for myself at that time with this mm-hmm. pastor, but he was eventually exposed for his antics and all that. And unfortunately, you know, I'd burned out, you know,
right.
I was just joined up with the Marine Corps, knowing I'd deployed to Iraq. And I ended up as a field radio operator with the infantry and went to Iraq and, with 2nd Battalion, 8th Marines, and mm-hmm. I was a forward air controller radio operator. So I learned a lot with those guys with air support and all that. Didn't have much happen in Iraq. There was a situation. We do have a Corporal Yale. There's a short movie about how he saved 30 people, but he lost his life. Corporal Yale, he got the Navy Cross, I think. Mm-hmm. There's a petition for the Congressional Medal of Honor, but I remember that day. 2,000-pound IED went off, shook everything.
And, yeah.
I went into the COC to do my job, but Afghanistan was rough.
Mm-hmm.
2009. I'd been on over 100 combat missions. Combat out of my platoon of 26, 16 were blown up in an IED. Through that the course of that, we were all, you know, we all lived, but we came home different.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was always the vehicle because I was the personal radio operator to the battalion commander. Mm-hmm. And we were his personal security details. So anything and everything, you name it, we did it. We even relieved people for days at a time on the front. And I mean, really, Afghanistan, the front is everywhere.
Yes.
But over 100 combat missions, came home and met my twins. I had twins at that time, so they were about 6 months old. But within 90 days, the darkness came in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was darkness for many, many years.
Right.
Got out of the Marine Corps in 2010 and started youth pastoring again, still walking through post-traumatic stress disorder. But the church mm-hmm. believed in us, the pastor. When I was like, I've been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury from a friendly fire incident. And that story is in Joan Hunter's book, Miracles for Veterans. Uh-huh. But the darkness was there. But that pastor looked at me. He's like, Jared, there's nothing in you that scares me.
Man. Wow.
You know, we need more ministers to believe in people. Even
exactly.
If they're going through the darkness.
Wow. Yeah.
And sometimes God heals people through us while we're still needing healing.
Exactly. I know
and
it.
And it's also therapeutic for us too, to serve.
Yes.
And, you know, too often I think churches are like, they label people. They're like, you're broken. You can't do this for now. Actually,
damaged.
Let them do it. Jim Baker, yep. The televangelist from the 80s.
Yes.
When he got out of prison, he plugged into a dream center in Los Angeles under yep. One of the Barnett's sons.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim was like, I'll be here for a couple of days. And then he's like, can I be here for a couple of weeks? And then he was there for long term serving mm-hmm. people. And now
yeah.
he's back to televangelism and stuff. So mm-hmm. we need healing, and healing sometimes is ongoing. So, I think I needed that for that time. You know,
yeah,
I needed
yeah.
that ministry for 5 years as a youth pastor in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina.
Isn't it strange how, I can only attribute it to certain things that I've seen along life where you see movies where veterans come home and they end up going and people kind of draw them in to help serve in different areas of life, whether it's, you know, in community or in church, and how they open up and heal. And then when we do the same thing, getting involved in certain things, you know, I remember being pulled into a women's ministry. And at first I was like, no. I just wanted to throw my hoodie on and, you know, stay to myself. And it was through the ministry that I started opening up and breathing and being that rose again, where you're like, I can breathe, you know. And it's amazing to see that the community really does care about veterans and healing them and helping them to move out of the darkness, and that there is life out there after what we have all experienced, you know, mm-hmm. and it's amazing. But
God moves in power on the front.
He does. He
and
does.
He speaks to them. Mm-hmm. A lot of them would be given dreams, and they would come to me, knowing that God interprets dreams through me. And,
wow.
You know, some people from the front would come to the rear if I was there when I was in Iraq, and they'd be like, hey, I heard that you interpret dreams. And I would say, well, God does it through me. And, you know,
just so like Joseph.
That was a lot. And then my roommate, because in Iraq, we lived in what we call the cans, and my mm-hmm. roommate received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And I hadn't seen that happen for some years through me.
Wow.
And I just wept. I was like, Jesus, you used me, you know, like, wow, mm-hmm. thank you.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a normal occurrence in my ministry. And to this day, it still is. And,
mm-hmm.
But that's to Marines, rough and tumble, gruff Marines.
Right. Then, rough Marines. I'll give you credit, Marines.
You know, thank you for your service. And, you know, I'm not, you. When you get out of the service, you realize every branch has its job. They got their thing,
yes.
thing to do. The competition is out. Everybody's got a job. Like a friend of mine just retired from the Air Force after 20 years. He's like, my deployments were different than yours. I was like, yeah, but you did
yeah.
a job. You did
exactly.
a job that was needed.
It's the same job.
So, you know, God moves in power wherever. I mean, I was leading Bible studies and stuff when I was in the Marine Corps, but, you know, those 9 years of darkness afterward, I mean, it was rough on my wife and my little kids at the
yes,
time.
It is.
But doing the ministry, going on mission trips. But then God, you know, I was in the process of healing. In time, I personally was like weaning myself off of the medications because they give you what is called the combat cocktail, like 13 or 14 prescriptions. But I'm weaning myself off, and there are some natural things I started taking, like 5-HTP, which is like tryptophan. So it helps you fall asleep, like when you eat turkey for Thanksgiving, and then become serotonin the next day. And obviously talk to your doctor about this stuff before you decide to go on 5-HTP or anything. But I've had people over the years ask me how I did it. And I was like, well, I was progressively weaning myself off, asking for healing. Asking for a miracle. Like one day I went into this church for a prayer. They were praying over me. I wanted to be healed of PTSD in like 2011 when I was about to go into full-time youth ministry. I didn't walk out with healing from PTSD, but I walked out with healing from the migraines from the traumatic brain injury.
Oh, wow. And
whatever miracle or healing God wants to give me, I'm going to take it.
Exactly.
So I go in for one thing. I come out with this other healing. I'm like, yes. So then years later, I had planted a church in Virginia Beach, and then that was great at first. And then, well, we ended up successfully closing it. But soon after closing it, I went under this transformation that I can only attribute to the Holy Spirit and a very supportive bride, my wife, Rochelle.
Right.
You know, 'cause she's there still cheering me on.
Still there.
Praying woman. You know, because 95% of combat veterans, I think, 90% divorce, I think.
Divorce,
Navy SEALs and special ops is like 95, 98%. But, man, she stuck it through. And she's cheering me on. And
what a strong bride.
Oh, amazing woman.
I know of, as a vet, I know of so many people. You know, I think the divorce rate between a church and the veterans, I don't know which is higher. You know, but yeah, I totally get to have a bride that stays with you during the dark moments, prays you through that, you know, and to still continue to encourage you after you step out. You know, that's a strong, strong woman of God right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, she gets up before me and she's always doing her devotions before me. So all these years, amazing.
What a blessing. Man. What a blessing.
And raising four amazing kids. And, you know, their characters being formed big time. But she was getting her master's in business. At that time, I'd completed my Master of Divinity from Regent University. And we had, again, successfully closed the church plant. And then there was this weekend retreat called the Welcome Home Initiative by Nigel Mumford. And so Spirit-Filled Anglicans, which blew my mom's, not my mom, but my wife's mind. And I'll take that back. My wife's mine. So we go, and I had this stuck point. So I'd already been weaning myself off of medications. I was down to one medication. And then I'd had this stuck point. And we don't dig stuff up, but when things are brought to light, we need to deal with it and hand it to Jesus. So Nigel prayed over me. And in this vision, so the stuck point was where I saw this 17-year-old Taliban bleeding out, and our doctors are working on him, our corpsmen and our doctors, and I was there. But I had this moral injury from that. Here I was a Christian, but I was cold. I had no emotions. I had no feeling towards this person. I beat myself up for years about this. And you know, there are other stuck points that I'd had, but this is the one that just kept coming up over and over, this moral injury. But in this vision, as Nigel was praying for me, the doctor became Jesus, and Jesus looked at me and said, "I see you and I love you."
Wow.
And just this huge weight lifted. I got up. I mean, we're talking not even a minute, not even 2 minutes of prayer. And this weight is gone. Within the next few weeks, I realized I'm not taking my medication. I have no more depression. My rage is gone. The emotional roller coaster that is PTSD, but I still had anxiety. And I was like, well, I had this friend whose daughter had epilepsy problems, and she was on the keto diet. And there are diets that help us neurologically.
Right.
And so his daughter had fewer epileptic seizures. So I was like, well, I'll try this out. Immediately, anxiety's gone. So I was on the keto diet for quite a while. I lost 60 pounds. I started working at this place called Academy, which used to be the Blackwater site before they sold out in like 2010. And then, make a long story short, I ended up being a private military contractor and going back to Afghanistan. Going back to Afghanistan,
oh,
to the place
man.
That took 9 years from me.
Yes, to go back. But isn't it weird that he healed the wounds? Not weird, but amazing the fact that he healed the wounds, took away the darkness, healed every aspect of your life before he sent you back into the lion's den. You know, it's just, wow. That's crazy. Yeah.
Well, so there I was, I'd been healed. I went there in September of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, September of 2020. And, you know, really contracting is to make money, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do a job. You were with a bunch of other fellow veterans. So it's you got that camaraderie and that brotherhood, mm-hmm. but it operates differently. Yes. But I fly into the Hamid Karzai Airport and they put us on this helicopter to fly us to the U.S. Embassy. And the back was open, you know, and those military things, you know, it's a short stop. So the back is still open.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm flying over Kabul. And I'm praying for the city. I'm praying for the people. I'm praying for the Taliban. I'm praying for Al-Qaeda. And I had nothing but love in my heart.
Wow.
For the people of Afghanistan. And my kids had actually written a book to raise money for a discipleship program in Darian Pashto. So we'd already been personally invested, financially invested in this mm-hmm. discipleship material. So here I am going back and I'm there up until early 2021 and was leading a Bible study. You know, these contractors who are rough and tumble, some of them, whew, they really need Jesus, okay? You know, but we're doing a job protecting the ambassador and other high-profile, very important persons for the U.S. State Department, you know, doing work behind the scenes there in uh-huh. Afghanistan. But I knew I was transformed. And so Heidi Mortensen, she's a fellow podcaster. She'd had me on. She's a Christian psychologist. She's like, Jared, that's like what we call exposure therapy. I was like, listen, I was just obedient to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I went back to this nation. Now, we did get rocketed. There were some other IEDs that went off. So like late November 2020, ISIS-K, you know, sent 21 rockets into the green zone. So I had just finished breakfast. I go into my room, which was a contractor can, and mm-hmm. the alarms go off and we're just told to hunker down where we're at. And I was just spending time in the Bible, spending time with Jesus.
Just chilling.
Not afraid of anything, you know, knowing, hey, I'm healed. I'm whole from this. And sometimes we need to go back, you know. So I went back and then I came home and, you know, I've at that time I automated everything, my emails, you know, automated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wrote a bunch of articles while I was there, made some e-courses and automated podcasting. So with podcasting, I would batch and then automate everything, just schedule it out. And so a lot of people didn't even know I was over there. A lot of people didn't even know I was in that line of work, you know, one foot in the ministry, one foot in contracting and the military type of world. But in time now, I'm serving him, doing webinars and seminars and having the most fun of my life, sharing my testimony, seeing God do what he wants through all the resources, you know.
Wow. And now you have a son that's getting ready to go in ministry and following dad's footsteps. And what a blessing. What a blessing. You know?
Yeah, we're proud of him. We'll be seeing him here real quick before he goes to Madagascar. So that's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so
talk about your fire ministries and what you're doing there. And how did you go ahead and just like make that step to go, I'm doing this. I'm stepping into full-time ministry for the Lord.
Yeah. So I'd always known it was in my heart to do fireborn ministries. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is my life verse.
Mm-hmm.
You will receive power when the Holy Spirit falls upon you and you will be my witnesses. So mm-hmm. the baptism of the Holy Spirit is pivotal in my life and also in my ministry, seeing people receive it. The baptism of the Spirit remotely, through the laying on of hands, through meetings, mm-hmm. through conferences, webinars, the podcast. And so we'd incorporated it in 2012, knowing, you know, and still at that time I was a youth pastor mm-hmm. and just kind of doing that part time, you know, side hustle, maybe doing some church meetings every now and then, some itinerating. But then even when I was pastoring, you know, still having a foot in that, blogging for Charisma Magazine online and stuff, but knowing, hey, this is going to become a full-time thing.
So right, here it is. Right.
Here it is. We're doing it now. You know, mm-hmm. meetings lining up, automated. Everything that's automated is automated. You know, having the most fun. You know, mm-hmm. I'll be going to Iowa here tomorrow for a three-day conference. And then we've got a conference here in Arizona. And then we're working on New Jersey and Alaska and some other places. And there's always invitations to preach in Pakistan. Okay.
Wow.
I've done Zooms for a couple of years, Zoom meetings into Pakistani villages where people would give their heart to the Lord, receive the baptism of the Spirit, receive healing remotely.
Wow.
Then that's the work of the Holy Spirit in those villages. But, you know, I'm having a lot of fun, you know, looking to do a startup a discipleship school. And then some of those students can travel with me when I travel. But obviously, got to have a balance, that work-life balance, family balance and stuff. So
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. But it's a lot of fun. So when you don't have to struggle with it, I know I'm in God's will.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. When everything is just laid out and it's just following in his footsteps and keeping your eyes on the Lord, not looking to the left, to the right, you know, and even though attacks may come and will come, you know, that you have your steadfast hand, you know, in God's hand. And you have a wife that's holding onto your hand and holding onto the Lord's hand. And, you know, what's that scripture about three strands are better than one? you know, it's really true, you know. And then to be able to see your son go and do the same, what an amazing testimony that you have. So what is the future of Jared now? Like, are you just honkering down until the Lord says, okay, I'm retiring you? Or do you guys have a goal to go, hey, we're going to pass this down to the kids? Or what is Jared's?
I don't think we'll retire. Uh-huh. You know, I think Rick Joyner and others have called it a refirement. And my friend Joan Hunter, she's a very well-known evangelist. Her parents were Charles and Frances Hunter. She was just in town the other day.
Oh, and, wow.
So I got to see her, and she, you know, unexpectedly, you know, asked me to share my testimony that's in her book, Miracles for Veterans. So I did. And amazing woman. So she's 70 years old. She's not stopping anytime soon. So she's not stopping. I'm not going to stop. I'm 43 years old now. And, you know, sure, I know that things could slow down, but I do want to pour into the next generation. And discipleship school, even my wife said, Jared, you could probably, you know, lead our kids through that and they could lead it too. You know, so, you know, that'd be like a 3-day a week discipleship school, similar to a YWAM discipleship school or a master's commission. I'm not sure what they call master's commissions right now, but they've rebranded that. But a 6 to 9 month discipleship course, teaching people media, teaching people how to raise money, teaching them entrepreneurship, but also how to study the Bible, how to roll in the supernatural and hearing God's voice and prophesying. And which is what our ministry does, or laying hands on people, seeing the sick healed in Jesus' name, you know, how to lay hands on people for them to receive the baptism of Spirit. And I'm kind of chasing the sun, but whatever.
I see that.
It's just moving, whatever. I don't have everything blocked off. But
hey, so you said sunbathing.
That's right. So the future is whatever Jesus wants. Mm-hmm. Whatever Jesus wants, I'll do. Mm-hmm. I'll obey. So we have vision. We have direction. Got some great people in our corner cheering us on. Released a book, The Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Even today, I got this new kind of download about co-writing with a friend of mine. We both admin a page called Speaking in Tongues and Interpreting Tongues on Facebook. There's like 40,000 people on there. So all the resources we drop in that page is all about
baptism of the Spirit,
developing your prayer language, interpreting tongues. Mm-hmm. And so I'd love to co-write with Malachi Talabi. I've got other book ideas. I've got a bookmark. I'm reading a book, and the bookmark shows chapter by chapter this another book idea. So more books, more resources, more podcasts, season 5 coming up for Adventures in the Spirit. My season's going years. So it's about to start going into the 5th year podcast for Adventures in the Spirit. But it's not going to stop. It's all for Jesus.
Amen. Amen. So if you had to sum it up, what would be your favorite course that you have on your ministry that you absolutely love to teach?
Oh, Yeah. Favorite e-course would be the Baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the free one.
Mm-hmm.
Had 2,500 or 3,000 people go through that and send in testimonies of how they've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That course will always be free. Okay. Now, the other e-course is Entry-Level Prophecy. I also have one about my healing of PTSD. I need to revamp that, so it's hidden right now. But I want to turn that into a book form as well. And
that would be great.
Open it up to people with all kinds of trauma. Because right now it's more geared towards Marine Corps or first responders. But I was like, I need to open it up for people who've got trauma of any kind. Accidents or abuse and steps to healing. So Entry-Level Prophecy, How to Hear God's Voice and Prophesy. That's the other passion of mine, which I do at the conferences. Activate, like the other week I was in Dayton, Ohio on a Sunday morning, activated a church to prophesy over one another, and then did two services there, you know, because we can all hear God, we can all prophesy. We may not be called into a prophetic ministry or prophetic office, but we all have the same Holy Spirit, Monica.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit can use us in any spiritual gift at any time, but we have, personally, you and I have more dominant spiritual gifts that we operate in. But yeah.
All right. Favorite book of the Bible?
Favorite book of Acts.
Book of Acts, of course.
Book of Acts.
Book of Acts.
Acts of the Apostles. There's so much in that. I'm currently going through Luke. And so I'll take three or four chapters at a time and read them. Yeah, 3, 4, 5 days in a row, over and over and over again, and slowly make my way through the New Testament, because I read through the Bible, I don't know how many times, the New Testament, more times than the Old Testament, but Book of Acts, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, that's supposed to be the name, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, yes.
And so when Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, all the healing and miracles that, that Jesus poured out, you know, it's so inspirational, and it is for today.
Yeah, amen. Well, Jared, thank you so much for coming on this show. Thank you for sharing your testimony, and I do have a lot of veterans that are following me, so hopefully the story will get out to them, and it will minister them, to them in a special way. To hear a veteran that has healed from PTSD is amazing, you know, just to that community and to the body of Christ that can hear your story and go, wow, he is still moving in the Lord. And it encourages us to continue to get up off the couch and go do what the Lord has said to do, to go out into all nations.
That's right.
And so I thank you for your story, and God bless you, Jared.
You're welcome, Monica. It was an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for joining us on Coffee Break with God, a podcast for